We have two readings today. The first one is from Genesis 12, 1 to 3, the calling of Abraham. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to a land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." The second reading is from Philippians, chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only on your own interests, but also the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ."
Thanks, Peter. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, I want to thank you for this amazing opportunity to get into your word. I want to ask you, Lord God, that you would minister by the power of your Holy Spirit as we open your word into our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Today, who feels blessed? Ah, a few. Not so blessed. Okay, Dan, not so blessed. Yeah. All right, well, let me put this to you, Daniel. You ready? Good. This week, celebrated 3 years of being a part of the Inner Monk. Now, the Inner Monk is one of my apps on my phone which challenges me to pray in different ways that I normally pray because it's very much different. For example, Thursday this week, my prayer in the morning was, "Look down at your feet." So you can follow this with me. Look down at your feet. Are you wearing shoes? Then you are blessed because you're in one-third of the population throughout our world who are wearing shoes today. Why don't you stop and pray for the other two-thirds who are not wearing shoes? It's that sort of prayer app, changing into different ones. This morning's prayer challenge was this. This morning, a number of people will pass away. This morning, a number of people will pass away alone without anyone to be with them. Pray for them. It's just a challenge to understand what being blessed really means, doesn't it? To be able to know, yeah, we've got so much to be thankful for. That we do have an amazing God who does do things amazingly. And it did prompt me to pray for a couple of friends I know that this very morning are sitting beside loved ones. Someone who's married for 53 years is sitting beside his wife who continues to be at the ravages of cancer. And it just makes you wonder, yeah, there's people doing it tough today. In the Bible, we hear a number of calls of God on people's lives. Sometimes they do it well, sometimes they do it tough. I want to share with you a couple of those that did it well and some that did it tough. First one is Jeremiah. Who would like a call like Jeremiah? Oh, no. Oh, mate, then you're going to hate Isaiah's. But anyway, let's go with Jeremiah first. Jeremiah gets a call from God and he says, "It's going to be great. You're a fantastic. You're going to be a prophet to the nations. You're going to speak in the homes of kings and queens." That sounds pretty good so far, doesn't it? And God says, "For I have grabbed you from the beginning of time and ordained that this would be your life." Right from the very beginning, Jeremiah, prophet to the nations. That's got to be an encouraging word on your life. We won't go into the rest of the book of Jeremiah. There's a few challenges there for Jeremiah. But Isaiah, what about Isaiah? That call is a great call. He gets taken to the seventh heaven and he's seeing everything in its grandeur. He's seeing the God Almighty on his throne. He's seeing the winged angels, the seraphim, the seraphim, and everyone ever going around heaven. And he realizes that he is a sinful man among sinful people. And he falls down on his knees and he cries out to God, "Woe is me." And then one of these great big angel guys grabs the holy tongs and reaches in and grabs the holy coal and puts it on his mouth. And he gets cleansed and set free. Aren't you glad we didn't grab hold of that tradition in the area of becoming a pastor? Hey, that guy looks like a pastor. How do you know? He has no lips. The holy coal burnt them all off, you know. Here he is. He's cleansed. He's right before God. And God says to him, "You ready for his word? Go and speak to the people of Israel. They will never listen to you, not a single word." That's your ministry. On your way, Isaiah, off you go. That's a tough gig, isn't it? Right from the very beginning. And he's seen all this great majesty, and then he gets told that's what's going to happen. I think if we want any sort of call, we want Abraham's call. It says this, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. Isn't that a good word? How good do you think Abraham felt when he got that one? Yeah, it's pretty cool. But we know Abraham didn't follow through on a number of those areas, did he? Or Abram at this stage of his life. I believe the church today has that very call upon its life. I believe God wants to work through us as the church, that we would be a great nation, a holy priesthood, a people called by God, not to hold on to the things that God has blessed us with, but to take the blessings that God has given us to the nations. Not to hold on to it, not to be so miserly and tight that we hold on to the blessings of God, but we take it further and further beyond just our own backyard. But what does the word bless mean? Some of you are like me. I use the word bless every text message. I finish it with, yeah, God bless you heaps. Every email, God bless you heaps. On the newsletter often, and today though, I don't think I did. I think I made a choice not to say God bless you. I use it all the time. God bless you. God bless you. And I sometimes think that when we do that, we can lose the power and the authority of the word. So let's go back to the very beginning and find out a little bit about what the word bless actually means and what the Word of God tells us about being blessed to be a blessing. In the very beginning, it talked about being consecrated or consecrating something or someone by religious rite or word. Now, if you are a linguist or a language specialist, please forgive me for the way I'm going to pronounce some of these words. In the Old English, there was a word called bletsian, which comes from the Proto-Germanic called blodson. Now, the blodson and the bletsian meant to hallow by sprinkling blood upon an altar. That's where this whole bless me comes from. Aren't you glad today that when I say, God bless you, that I don't mean for me to pour blood over you so that you'd be holy? That'd be pretty messy if I'm going around the street doing that all the time, wouldn't it? We've stepped a little bit away from the original term of it, and when we translated the Bible with the Greek and the Hebrew, we grabbed hold of a few different areas like Latin and Greek. The Latin was benedictory. It sounds like benediction there, doesn't it? And the Greek word was, yeah, good one, eulogien. And these two words meaning to speak well of, to praise, and to make happy. To make happy. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know how when we say a blessing over the food, we're making the food happy. Maybe we're making us happy for eating the food. I'm not sure, but it's interesting the way we use the word, isn't it? So we grab hold of these and we mix them all together, and then there is this other picture. The Latin and the Greek often had pictures with their words so that people who were, saw things would understand the language better. And this picture of to speak well of or to praise or to make happy was someone holding someone's right arm, strengthening the right arm. And the analogy of that being right-handed person, the sword and all that sort of stuff, being the strength of the right arm. And so there was strength in a blessing on a person's life. Now, when we say that we want to bless God, how do we bless God? How do we strengthen God? Can we strengthen God in that sense? No, God's all-powerful. So they grab the Hebrew word, which is BRK. How do you pronounce that? BRK is the Hebrew word. And it means to bow, to kneel, bend the knee, to worship, to praise, or to evoke a blessing. So when you grab hold of to strengthen and encourage and to bow the knee, you can see the complexity of the word bless, can't you? So when we go about to bless, when we bless God in that sense, we do actually bend the knee. We do actually worship God. We do actually praise his name to bless God in that way. We can do that to people as well, but more when we bless people, we're actually strengthening the arm. We're being blessed to be a blessing in bringing a word of encouragement or strengthening. Now, Michael Frost, when he says three ways that we can bless people, talks about three specific ways. Just as three ways of doing it. There's many ways that you can, but he talks about three specific ones. The first one is a word of affirmation. How many people have ever had someone speak into their life with a word of affirmation and gone, yeah, that makes me feel good. That made me feel happy. That blessed me. Yeah? So a word of affirmation is something that is really very strong and tangible. For Vonnie challenging us on quotes, apparently, and I don't know how well this is, but Mark Twain said, I can live on one word of encouragement for 2 months. Now, that's a pretty good word of encouragement, to live on that for 2 months. But there's that analogy that a word of affirmation is very, very important. The other one he talks about is acts of kindness. Acts of kindness. To go out of your way to do an act of kindness. Now, years ago, we as a church had an ARC team, an Acts of Random Kindness team. And I've talked with the leadership team at our last meeting. And I would like us to start looking at the process of reigniting that team. In the last month, we've had a number of people come and asking for help in different ways, whether it be shifting house or for food or for vouchers and that sort of stuff. And some of the stuff I can get in and do, but other times there's other people with gifted abilities and skills that we could probably phone out those jobs and build a better team to work in through our community. So the area of acts of random kindness. And I'll tell you, when we did go and do it with Joseph and Gary Olive, and we went and helped people move home because their life had turned into a disastrous stage, and I won't go into the details of the stories, but it's amazing that simple blessing of shifting house encouraged people in their walk with God, encouraged people full stop. So acts of kindness, going out of our way to help people out, going out of our way to encourage people by an act of kindness. The third way that he talks about is in the area of gifts. We give someone a random gift, not just because it's their birthday or anything. If you ever come to my house and you see a bunch of flowers in the house, there is going to be probably two ways that that has worked. One, it is for Jamie, or two, it is for Cynthia. I don't know why, but I don't seem to ever get given flowers. But that's just the way it is. So, but when I was a youth pastor, Cynthia used to run a girls' home group. And in the girls' home group, they came home one day and they saw a bunch of flowers sitting on the table. And they turned to Cynthia and said, oh, what's Donnie done wrong? What's Donnie done wrong? And Cynthia said, Donnie's done nothing wrong. And they went, oh, well, my dad always brings home flowers when he's done something wrong. Now, we as a couple have taken the stand of, no, 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 if Donnie does something wrong, which he does, then he will just go to Siberia and do his time. And when forgiveness is given, he'll be able to come home and deal with it. No gift giving, no flowers, no groveling. Just if I've done the crime, I'll do the time. Okay? But if I love my wife and the moment hits me and I want to buy flowers for her just because I'm thankful that I have her walking this journey of life with me, then I do that and I come home and I give her a bunch of flowers just because it's a random gift. I'll take that word of affirmation and I'll see if I can live on that for 2 months. The interesting thing with those three areas is you'll see them again and again through the Word of God. But the interesting thing is there's a guy called Gary Chapman who has written a number of books called The Five Love Languages. And those three are three of the five. There's another two that are used. So for that to work as well as it does, to be able for us to show that we actually do love one another and we do care for one another and we are following in God's way of being blessed to be a blessing, then it's important that we do that. Words of affirmation, acts of random kindness, and gift giving to be a blessing. Now, there's a guy called Dave Ferguson. Anyone heard of Dave Ferguson? I hadn't till this week either, so don't feel too bad. Dave Ferguson did a study. It's an amazing study, and it turned into a book, and it was called Blessers versus Converters. Now, it'd be an interesting book to read, but the main thesis behind this is blessers versus converters is that the blessers, those that go out intentionally into short-term mission or long-term mission or in their walk with God, their aim is to be a blessing to their community, to be a blesser into their community, had 50 times more success in seeing conversions than those whose absolute number one goal was to go out and convert their community. Isn't that an interesting insight? Now, the other thing, underlying thing through the study was that to go out and bless your community falls apart once you start to do that as an evangelistic strategy. Interesting point in that too, isn't there? So once you go out to bless people to see them saved, it unravels because you go out there with a different goal other than just doing it because you love God and God loves you and he calls you to minister into people's lives, whether there is a positive response or a negative response. Interesting aspect of the whole area of being blessed to be a blessing. Now, there's a number of passages that we need to have a look at to help us in walking through this journey of blessed to be a blessing. First one is that it's not about personal gain. When you go out to be a blessing, it's not about what you can get from it. It's not about, oh, look, mate, I helped you the other day, so now you owe me. That's not what God wants us to do at all, is it? We do it with nothing attached, no strings attached. We do it because of the love of God in us. And the passage that Peter read to us from Philippians chapter 2, verses 3, and I'm going to read through to 5, just because as I read through that again this morning, there's a nice little verse in verse 5 as well. It says this, it says, Philippians chapter 2, verses 3, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. That's what that underlying thing there is, isn't it? When you go out and bless people, you don't do it out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. How hard is that to do? To value others above who you are. To see others more important than yourself. Wouldn't our world be different if we just did that one little thing? So different. Not looking for our own interests, but each to the other's interests of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. To have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. To do the things as Jesus. And you can understand why back in the day there was the WWJD, you know? And that doesn't stand for what would Jamie do, okay? That was what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And you could get that frame of mind. What would Jesus do in this situation? When we try to follow through in Jesus' way. Number two, it's not a bribe. It's not to be a bribe. You're not meant to bless someone so that you can get it back in return and be able to balance it. One of the Proverbs, Proverbs 27, really interesting, we had a talk of Proverbs today. Proverbs 27 is, he who blesses his neighbor early in the morning may see that come back not the right way. Now, I thought I'd check that out. So during the week at 5 a.m., I thought my neighbor's lawn needed mowing, so I thought I'd mow his lawn early in the morning for him. And that Bible verse was correct. I was not considered a blessing in my neighborhood at 5 o'clock in the morning by mowing the lawn. Who would have thought, huh? So isn't that interesting? There are ways to bless people and there are ways not to bless people. And we've got to grab hold of that. Number three is be prepared to say why you're doing the blessing. Be prepared to say what you're doing it for and where does it come from. Let me read it to you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 to 16. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against you, against your good behavior in Christ, may be ashamed of their slander. Now, there's a number of things happening in and through our world at this moment in time where the church or Christianity or Jesus himself is copping a bit of a shellacking. And there are different ways that people have felt that they needed to respond to that. Some have decided to respond to it in an attack way. Others have decided to respond to it in a loving, caring way. Now, the interesting thing with this, and over the years, having worked in different churches as a youth pastor and seen young people, now older people, it's a bit scary when a number of the kids that were in your youth group are now, you know, having 40-plus birthday parties, and their kids are turning 20 and getting married. And I've got kids that were kids having kids, and it's just scary as you get older seeing that. I know there's others that have been in ministry for a lot longer than I have, and have seen even grandkids and great-grandkids, that sort of stuff come around. But the interesting thing with that is through the social media, I've been able to keep in touch with a whole range of people from different places throughout Australia and through in different ways. Some of the kids that were in our youth groups over the years have continued on and followed Jesus. Others have gone on and become missionaries and gone to Bible college. Others have thrown in the towel and decided not to. And a number of them are quite on the attack as far as Christianity is concerned. And a number of the big topics that are out there, they post on Facebook and other areas of social media. And I just see the agony and the pain of all the discussion that goes backwards and forwards on there. And so another thing that I've decided to do is I never jump on and jump in the conversation, because I'm not as good a wordsmith of bringing across in a conversation. So what I'll do is I'll personally PM them. I'll personally message them. And as one of the young guys who's become an amazing scientist, it's incredible, because he never, you know, if you hadn't picked him in a youth group, he was going to become a great scientist and into astronomy, in amazing ways. I would have not picked him. But he's really gone on, and he's done such an incredible good job in what he does. And he came out and he was just attacking Christianity and Christians and ripping him to pieces. And I just went, wow, you're breaking my heart, mate. And so I personally messaged him and talked to him about back in the day where there was this crazy long-haired youth pastor who did all these different things with him at school and on youth camps and all this sort of stuff. And he came back to me straight away and he said, Donnie, when I was posting that, one of the people I didn't want to upset was you when I posted it. And he said, when I was saying Christian and Christians and Christianity, I'm speaking generically. I wasn't picturing you in mind. I wasn't picturing anyone in mind. I'm just speaking in general terms. He and I went on then to have this amazing discussion. Amazing discussion. I wasn't able to turn him around at the end of it, but it was an amazing discussion, and he was amazingly open to letting it be talked through. Now, where did that amazing discussion come from? That amazing discussion came from a relationship. And you're able to say to people, hold on a sec, when you attack a Christianity, you're attacking me, your friend, who I'm walking life with. And it's amazing how much you can, the pain and the agony gets taken out of the argument when you're there walking and talking with them through stuff. And you can do it with the wisdom that God can give you at that time. Blessed to be a blessing is to loiter with intent, to walk around and to love people and care for people without feeling it as an area of personal gain, a bribe. But also, when they say, why are you doing this? I have a number of people have said to me at the surf club, why do you come and be a chaplain here? And I need to have a good answer for them. I need to be able to walk with them and share with them. And I've got many good stories that I can give from my times in the surf club to say, this is why I do what I do. For you and for me, we are blessed to be a blessing. Now, we might start by sending someone a text message or a card or visiting them or giving them a gift at random or going around and helping them do something that they need to do. That may be where the blessing starts. But in and through that, relationship can grow. And in and through that, the opportunity to have a deeper walk together through the things of God. I always say that when you get down in the trenches with people, when they go through the tough stuff in life, that's where you really get to know people, hey? And you can really love and care for them in and through that sort of stuff. It's great to have the good times, and it's great to celebrate great wins and victories in this area and that area. But when people are doing it tough, what an opportunity to be there and bless them. And that's why I'm very excited because of this coffee ministry starting this week, that there are people doing it tough. There are people whose lives are spinning out of control, that they're inside a mental health ward here on our Sunshine Coast. And every day of the week they get non-caffeinated coffee. One day a week they get to have coffee with these folk. What an opportunity to be a blessing. What an opportunity to fill a box full of things, to be a blessing. And those stories are powerful, aren't they, Lois? Where you see the kids, just their faces light up as they get all this stuff from Western culture places, these amazing things. But as they share, the follow-up with that is not just that, but it's the opportunity. And let me say that loudly and clearly. It is the opportunity for these kids to take part. All right? It's not a, you don't get the box unless you do this. It's, here's the box, and if you'd like, you get to do this. You know? It's that opportunity to share with them. What a great way to be blessed, but also pass on that blessing that goes around the world. How many million? 11.5 million last year. 11.5 million little kids being blown away by some people who are blessed to be a blessing. Are you ready for a challenge? Oh, okay, two of you. Cool. Okay, the rest of you can just tune out. Are you ready for a challenge? Okay. The next term, we are going to give you a challenge every week from the pulpit. A practical challenge. I'm really looking forward to Brendan's next week. That's a good challenge you've got to give. My challenge to you is this, is to think of three people. One person inside these four walls, one person outside these four walls, and because I'm not a dictator, you get to choose the third person for wherever. All right? Is that okay? So far, so good. You understand what I'm saying? So one person inside the four walls, one person who's part of Kiwana Life, or part of your Christian circle, all right? One person who's outside of this place, might be your neighbor. We had a great prayer time this morning and people were praying for their neighbors. It was excellent. And the third one is a person of your choice. All right? And your goal this week is to bless three people in one way: word of affirmation, an act of kindness, or a gift. You could give three gifts. You could give three words of affirmation. You could give three acts of kindness, because people have different ways of being able to minister in different ways. All right? And if you do that, feel free to text me and tell me the story. All right? See what God does. Three challenges. Three people. Three ways of blessing people in a tangible way beyond the scope of what we do on a Sunday. You up for it? Okay, cool. Next one, and this again came from the prayer time, is that we believe that God does big things in people's lives. Amen? Yeah. So the other thing that you can do is pray into. Okay, there's, 126 people here today. So that means there's, I should have picked an easier number. There's 120 people here today. So three times 120 is 360 blessings from this place. But let's pray into every single one of those blessings. So join me in prayer as we pray that God's word will go in and through what we're sharing this week and blessed to be a blessing. All right? The other one is this, is that our God is a big God. And sometimes we live this life very simply and we get caught up in the way of doing things. And this gentleman shared with me this, and someone actually came up to him this week and challenged him. Does your God heal? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you ask for people to be healed? Yeah, 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 yeah. And he said, well, when's the last time? And he said, oh, okay. I've actually got a sore knee and I've got a bone spur, and, you know, I haven't called out to God for help. And so that guy, just by that little challenge, then went and prayed that God would help his knee and the bone spur. And guess what? Guess what? God helped. God helped him. And he was sharing that with me this morning. He said, God help me. It, bang, boom, hallelujah. God is good. So I want to challenge you to pray. If you have an issue or struggle, then ask God for help. It's there. He's right there. He wants to bless you. You are blessed to be a blessing. And part of that is crying out to God on your own behalf and saying, yes, God, I need your help in whatever way it is. It might be healing. It might be the area of finances. It might be the area of studies. It might be the area of relationships. It might be the area of the challenge. And cry out to God for help, because we're not meant to do it in our own strength. We're meant to do it with God walking and talking with us. We are blessed to be a blessing. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you so much for the way that you have indeed blessed us. Not only do we have the opportunity of coming and sharing in a place like this around praise and worship, hearing your word, we get to have a Bible We don't get beaten up for reading our Bible. We don't get challenged because we walk and talk with you. But Father, we do live in a community, Lord, that is changing. And we pray, Lord God, you would help us the many ways that you've blessed us, that we'd be a blessing to our wider community, that we would be a blessing to everyone inside these four walls as well. And we'd go beyond ourselves. We'd go beyond who we are, further afield. Lord, I know each and every one of us in this place is blessed by you. And the stories of your blessing in our lives could go on for hours and days and weeks. So, Father, may we rejoice in what you've got for us and what you're doing, and take it and be your hands and feet of blessing into our community. And in and through this, Lord God, may we give you glory and praise, and may your name be exalted, and may people who don't know you ask questions, and may they come to faith, and may they too realize that they are blessed to be a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.